New Testament. It's from the book of Colossians. That's the second chapter, verses 6 through 8. Colossians 2, 6 through 8. And it reads as follows: "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than of Christ." It's Colossians 2, 6 through 8. May God add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his word.
"To abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and the slave does not abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Now, before we go any farther, I want to just talk about the connection that Jesus has to the truth, as we see in this passage that was just read. Because first of all, Jesus is truth personified. It was said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life." I am the truth personified. Yes, sir. "No one comes to the Father but by me." And this morning I know, and I'm not going to even assume, I know full well that I'm speaking to an audience that knows that his words are truth, and that his life was simplified truth. Yeah. Most simply and most profoundly, Jesus Christ was truth, and Jesus Christ is truth. Yeah. Now, of course, we know truth in a way that a Greek in the first century could never know truth. For us, truth is more than that. Truth is not just based on an opinion and on a debate. For truth is not debatable. It's propositional. And of course, for us, truth for us always centers in the person of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
John chapter 8, verses 3 through 10. Let's continue reading. "Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?' They said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?'" You know, there is no fact, there is no statement, there is no doctrine that has real significance, except as we see it, meaning filtered in the truth. Filtered in the life, filtered in the teaching, and the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no fact or statement except being filtered in the truth that Jesus is the Christ. And if that's important to Christ, it ought to be important to us as well, his disciples. So as a result of that, we not only have to embrace truth and ultimately live truth, what we have to do is drop those stones of deceit and walk away from those lies of self-righteousness. There are too many of us that are living our lives the way we want to live our own lives, lying to ourselves every single day. Coming in the midst of God and saying that we serve God and we love Jesus and we lying to ourselves. Good morning to you. I mean, every single day. We not only have to embrace the truth, we ultimately have to live the truth. We've got to drop those stones of deceit in our lives and walk away from the life of self-righteousness.
Tell the truth, man.
What is important this morning, what is essential, I want you to know is that That truth always matters. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Yes,
he said. So I want to look at this familiar text right here in its context. Let's go back to John chapter 8. Let's start in verse number 30 and read through verse number 36. Let's look at this text in its context right here. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? My question is, how can they say that they have never been in bondage to anyone? I mean, the history of Israel was one of bondage and then deliverance by God. And even now, 70 years before the birth of Christ, the Jews were subjugated by Rome.
Free,
if they wanted to appoint a high priest among them, the Romans had to sign off on that.
That's right.
They were not free, not by any stretch of the imagination. They were not free in any way. And the city that had never been in bondage was a failure to see the truth.
Yeah.
So he continues in verse 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Whoever commits sin is captured by sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son sets you free, you shall be free. Amen? Indeed. The point of the passage for this verse says that sinful actions and behavior, if they go unchecked, if sinful actions and behaviors go unchecked, they become a part of us. They become a part of who we are. We become a captive to sin, and that leaves none of us out.
Yes.
If we let the sin in our lives go unchecked,
yes, right.
We become a captive, amen,
yes.
To sin. And because of the reality of this truth in our lives and the lives of those that were before Jesus, this encounter doesn't end well at all. We find in John 8, 57 through 59, then the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old. And you're telling me you've seen Abraham? Come on, man. You remember that? Come on, man. You ain't even 50. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Might not be 50, but before Abraham was, I am. And then they took up stones to throw at him because Jesus hid himself and went out through the temple, going through the middle of them, and he passed by him. They were so enamored with the fact that they knew what they were saying was true. They wanted to kill him. It didn't end well because there were statements about truth that they just wouldn't hear. And that sounds kind of familiar to me. You ever lie to yourself? Sometimes we just don't want to hear the truth. And that sounds familiar, doesn't it? We live the same reality over and over and over again. And there is some truth that we just refuse to hear. We refuse to face the truth of the reality in our lives. We don't want to face it. Listen to me. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But what else could have Jesus said here that may very well be true also? There are three things that Jesus could have said in my mind here as well that I want you to listen to. The first one is this. You shall know the truth, but the truth will be hard for you to hear. You shall know the truth, but sometimes it's just so hard, amen? You ever try to find out how you're doing in your life or what's going on with you? Let me tell you what you want to find. You want to find a hard truth? If you want to hear it, ask your children. Or they'll tell you. And you don't want to hear it because you're their daddy. What are you talking about? And you can't face it. But if you want to know the truth about yourself, ask them. Or they'll tell you. They'll tell you. As a matter of fact, a lot of what Jesus said was hard to hear what he said. In Matthew 19, he talks about how God views marriage and divorce. And who has a right to divorce and a right to remarry. And the response was, teacher, this is a hard saying. Who can hear that? We don't want to listen to that. And even today, no one is interested in hearing truth on marriage and divorce. Nobody that won't hear that. Amen. The reason why truth is so hard to hear is because all of us bring certain baggage and background into every encounter with truth. Everything that is a part of our diverse makeup, it colors and prejudices us. It blinds us and influences the way, listen, it influences the way that we want to listen to what God has to say to us. We want to hear it the way we want to hear it. We want to filter the way we want to hear it. We are blinded and filled with prejudice, and it just colors us so bad that we want to hear God's word the way that we want to hear it.
Yes, sir.
Take it the way that we want to take it.
Say
that. We want to listen to God the way we want to listen to him about what he has to say to us. That's why so many people can't often see the truth about you. That's why so many people can't often see the truth about themselves. More quickly than you can see it about yourself, people can see the truth about you. That's why you can see the truth about me more quickly than I can see the truth about myself. James talks about that mirror that we look in, right? That mirror is filled with truth, and we don't want to see that. We don't see it. We can all often see more truth about others than we can see about ourselves, because everything that is a part of our life experience, it colors and prejudices us, and it blinds us to the absolute truth.
Yeah.
We don't want that. Yeah. One thing I love about truth, you know, lies and innuendos and gossip and all that stuff seems, it comes and it rushes into your life, doesn't it? And we know the truth is out there somewhere. Or but when she comes in and when she sits down, everything else goes away.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? I love when truth comes in and just has a seat. You know, in 2 Samuel 11 is a story about David and in the aftermath with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. Nathan the prophet comes and presents him to him a simple sheep story. And at the end of that story, David is appalled at who would do such a thing in his kingdom. He says, anybody who would do such a thing, who would steal a pet from his neighbor rather than take it from his own flock, I'm going to require that of him. I'm going to cry on his head. And Nathan says this. He says, David, this isn't a story about a sheep or feast or stealing. This is a story about you.
Yes.
The truth of the matter is, it doesn't have anything to do with sheep. The truth of the matter doesn't have anything to do with feast. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't have anything to do with stealing. The truth of the matter is, it is about you. You know, we can make everything in the world about us, except truth. We don't want truth to be about us. We can let it be about somebody else, and we talk about it, whether it be good or not so good, but we never want truth. Nathan said, this story is about you. It's about you. So how did David not see that? Because when Nathan told the story, David still had his blinders on. And to the point that Nathan had to say, wait a minute, buddy. Wake up. Wake up. I'm talking about you. This is your truth. So why was he blinded to that? He was blinded because truth is sometimes hard to see and it's hard to hear. How about for you? I know for me it is. I don't know about you. I don't want to indict you on that, but for David it was. For me it is. Sometimes truth is hard to see and hard to hear. And so much so that we go into abject denial of things that are crystal clear to everyone else. But we just refuse to see it and refuse to hear it. It's that same ability to deny that leads us into saying things like, you know what? I don't gossip. Other people might gossip, but no, not me. I don't do that. I might inform sometimes. But gossip? Not me. It leads us to say, I don't lie. Wouldn't even think about it. But on occasion, I might misspeak. On occasion, I might massage the truth just a little bit, but I don't think about lying. It leads us to say, I would never complain. I'm not that one. I'm not critical like other people are. On the contrary, I'm just honest about things. You can listen to me. Listen, sometimes we don't see things about ourselves that everybody else so clearly sees. The first thing that I think Jesus could have said as well was, you shall know the truth, but the truth will be hard to hear. Number two, You shall know the truth, but first, it may well make you miserable. The truth will make you free. But before it does that, it will make you absolutely miserable. Before the truth can liberate your soul, it may very well burn you and break your heart. Think about the gospel. Before it can save your soul, you've got to acknowledge that you are lost. Before you can save your soul, you've got to acknowledge that you are lost. And that's a truth that a whole lot of people don't want to come to grips with because they're used to tradition and culture and all those lies that they were told growing up about God. Oh, they didn't lie to me about God, did they? Check the Bible and see. Check it and see. You know, Winston Churchill once said this. This is what he said. Occasionally, men will stumble over the truth. Most of them pick themselves up and they hurry off as if nothing ever happened. I got to get up and get out of here because I don't want to deal with this truth. I'm just going to pretend like it never even happened. You see, receiving the truth demands an honesty that not everybody's willing to come to grips with. To accept truth is sometimes so painful that some would rather live in self-deception or hypocrisy rather than to deal absolutely honestly with the truth about themselves. I'd rather live my life as a hypocrite or as a deceiver than to know the truth about myself and live it. But you know one thing? Everybody's got their own free will, so you can do that. You can do that. And God will let you do that. And what a frightening thing it is to ignore the truth that comes from God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. I want to read this to you from the Living Bible. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. Here's what the Living Bible says about that. Talking about God. He will completely fool those who are on their way to hell because they have said no to the truth. They have refused to believe it and love it and let it save their lives. And so God will allow them to believe lies with all their hearts, and all of them will be justly judged for believing falsehood, refusing the truth, and enjoying their sins. That's one of the most frightening verses in the Bible to me, because it's God saying, look, if you want to believe a lie, if you never want to come clean, if you never want to be honest, if you never want to deal with the truth about yourself or about your relationships that are strained, if you never want to deal with about how to deal with others, about what you need to do and the way that you live, if you don't want to deal with all that, it's okay. If you don't ever want to comply with the truth, God says you go right ahead and do that. Go do it. If you want to believe a lie, if you want to go into eternity just deceiving yourselves every day, deceiving yourself that everything is fine, go right ahead. God will allow you to do that. That's your own free will.
Yes, He will. Yes, sir.
But you don't have to do that. You don't have to believe a lie. You don't have to live a lie. You don't even have to tell a lie. Acts chapter 9 is a story about the conversion of Saul. And it says that for 3 days, Saul didn't eat or drink anything. Why? Because he finally came face to face. He came to grips with the truth he didn't want to see. On that Damascus road, he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus responds, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecuted. And why do you kick against the pricks? Why do you continue to kick against the goads?" Everything, evidently, in his life wasn't what he thought it was. Evidently, this wasn't the first thing he had to come to know about Christ. So Jesus asked him, "Why do you continue to fight against me?" And I'm asking you the exact same thing. If you are not steeped in truth, why do you continue to fight against Christ? Why?
Yeah.
Because all truth is found in Christ.
Yeah.
You see, Saul had to come face to face with the truth that he had been resisting. And for 3 days, he didn't eat or drink. He was miserable because now there was a choice that had to be made. And there are a lot of people in this audience, in the sound of my voice this morning, that are just like Saul. You'd rather live in misery than believe and surrender to the truth. You'd rather live in misery than to be captured by the truth. You'd rather live in misery than allow God to come into your life in and as Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior. There are those under the sound of my voice this morning who have come to see the truth. They know it, but they refuse to act upon it. Let me tell you something. There comes a point in our lives that as we stand before God, we are going to have to come clean. Every last one of us got to come clean. You remember standing in front of your mom or your dad? They say, I want you to tell me the story. I want you to tell me what happened. And they tell you, but they don't tell you all of the story. We do the same thing to God. Same thing to our elders. Same thing to the preacher. We want to tell them the story, but we don't tell them. You got a few rocks left in your pocket? There comes a point in our lives that as we stand before God, we will all have to come clean. Number two was, you shall know the truth, but the truth sometimes is going to make you miserable. Here's the third point. You shall know the truth, but it may be painful to do something about it. Here's a qualifying truth for you. It's called fact truth. It says that you've been robbed of your possessions. That's a fact, and who wants to deal with that? Fact truth is the reality of knowing that you've lost your job, and who wants to face that? Fact truth, I failed the exam and the class also. Who wants to live with that hard reality and then go home from college and tell that to your parents? That's a fact truth. Relationship truth says this. I know I broke your heart. Relationship truth says, I don't trust you anymore. Relationship truth says, I don't want to hear this about my parents because they're dead and we ought to be able to get along, but we just can't. Why can't we get along as brothers and sisters? The relationship truth says that there's a strange relationship and me as a Christian ought to be doing something about it. Relationship truth says, you made me to sin. And the ultimate relationship truth says this. I need you to hear this. Depart from me. I have never knew you. That's your relationship with God. And at the end of living your life, the way that you want to live your life, at the end of all of that, you think you got a relationship with God and you're going to hear these words, depart from me. I never knew you. Because you didn't want to embrace truth. In Matthew chapter 7, in that mountain message, there were individuals who refused to face the truth that they didn't even know him. Because it'd been painful to do something about it. There are people sitting in this audience right now listening to my voice that have never been baptized into Christ. And for them, it's painful to get up and acknowledge Christ in their lives. Because in their minds, the lie that they're living, they think that they have God already. But unless you've been baptized into Christ, you have never put on Christ.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Truths are often painful because you have to change. Truths are often painful because you have to act. Truths are often painful because you have to make a move. Truths are often painful because you have to repent. So why call me Lord, he says. You don't do the things I tell you to do. Why are you calling me Lord? If I'm your Lord, then you ought to do what I say. You know, Peter finds himself in Acts chapter 10 on the top of a roof. 10, 13 through 14, he's sitting on the top of a roof. And a voice came to him, says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter says, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. You know, those words don't go together, no and Lord. They just don't. So if you're going to say not so, Lord, you don't need to call him Lord. Amen. Mountain message, Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Not everyone. The present day interpretation of that is this. Why do you bother even assembling with the church if you don't intend on having the right relationship with God? Why do you even bother assembling with the church if you don't intend on having the right relationship with your brother? Why do you even bother assembling with the church if you want to go on living a lie as if you are a child? If you don't intend to act upon hearing his truth, and if you're not going to live the songs that you sing, oh, how I love Jesus. You know, we get so used to telling people that's close to us that we love them so much we don't even know what it means. I want you to think for a second what it means for you to tell somebody that you love them. What does it mean to you? Is it just a passing phrase? And we bring that into the church and we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. What does that mean to you? Because you know tomorrow you're going to live exactly how you want to live. But today you love him. But tomorrow, different story. Let me just remind you something that is one of my favorite quotes, and you've heard it before. Let me just remind you that sitting in the garage doesn't, amen, it don't make you a car. It's because you're sitting in there. And sitting in the doctor's office doesn't make you well. At some point in time, you got to believe that what the physician has prescribed will be a benefit to you physically. It's going to make you well. And just sitting in the church building doesn't make you well spiritually, even though it's important. But at some point in time, we have to take what we sing, we have to take what we pray, we have to take what we promise, we have to take what we hear, and we have to take it and make it a part of our lives. We have to live for truth. We got to stop sitting on our thumbs. Stop sitting on the truth in our lives of who we are. And how we behave, and whose we say we are. We've got to stop sitting on truth. You shall know the truth. Listen to me. How many times have you heard that in your life? How many times have you read it? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you're willing to hear the truth and face your reality, and if you're willing to change in response to the truth, Jesus says, I can set you free.
Yes, he can.
You see, that's what he did to the lady in Acts chapter 8. She was set free. He says, I want you to go and sin no more. I'm setting you free.
Yes.
These guys had stones in their hands. They was ready to kill you. I'm setting you free. Mm-hmm. Satan had stones in his hands. We live our lives apart and aside from God. Satan is standing to kill you. Jesus says, I want to give you life. I want to set you free. Why be stoned by all these lies and die a life like that, pretending to serve God? Why die that way? You shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. You know, in Luke chapter 15, we talk about the prodigal son all the time. But he comes to understand a painful truth. And it's a truth that's hard to act on. But he ultimately comes to realize that home is where he belongs. That's where we belong, church. This is not our home here. The prodigal son says, home is where I belong. So he faces the truth. And because he was willing to accept the truth about himself and change in response to the truth made him free. You got anything you want to come clean with? That you want to tell your husband or your wife or your brother or your sister? You got anything that you want to come clean with that you want to talk to God about? You can come home and you can tell the truth about it, and that truth will set you free. It'll set you free. Got a lot of patriotic people out there. And they say the land we live in, America, is the land of the free and the brave. Could it be that we've heard that so often that those words don't sound very liberating to us? I mean, imagine. Imagine living as a slave in America. Imagine that. Can't imagine it. I know that my forefathers did, but imagine living as a slave in America, living in the bondage of hell, and then being set free. Isn't that incredible? And then being set free. Imagine being a Jew confined to a Nazi prison camp and watching your family and your friends die every day. And then being set free. For all the difficulty of hearing the truth and the pain of accepting the truth and the change that's required in obeying the truth, the cost is vindicated by the outcome. It is. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It will make you free from sin. Because if you commit sin, if you bind and pledge yourself to a course of sinful behavior, eventually you will be a slave to sin. You're going to be captured by sin. It'll become who you are. The truth is, sin is a problem for all of us. And it has all different manifestations. Imagine being an alcoholic all of your life and then being set free. Imagine being filled with lust all of your life and then being set free. Imagine being a greedy person for material gain all of your life, and then Jesus comes into your life and you are set free. Imagine gossiping all the time about everything and nothing and being set free to talk about Christ and the emancipation that he's given you in your life. Imagine being steeped in debt. Finances not up to your head, but over your head and covering your feet. And then the next day you wake up. Isn't that incredible? Think about that. And you're free. No debt whatsoever. I want to tell you, the truth has the power to set us free from all of that. All of that. And it can only set us free if you do something about it. So why won't you do something about it? Why won't you do something about those sinful relationships that Jesus can set you free from? Do something about it. I want you to know that truth challenges us, and truth hurts us, and truth makes unyielding demands on us. Demands that cause us to alter our behavior altogether, and people don't even know who you are. They just look at you and say, oh, I know who that is. He's just doing all that lying all the time. Don't talk to him. All he does is what? Lie. Anybody ever told you that by somebody? All they do is just lie all the time. Let me tell you something. It's an uncomfortable thing. It's an inconvenient thing. Truth is uncomfortable and is inconvenient for some. But we know that our reward is great when we embrace the truth about God in our lives. And that's why we're here this morning, to embrace the truth about God in our lives. I mean, the truth of the gospel is changing our family's history. It's changing the eternity of our children forever. Think about that. It's not only about you. It's not about self-righteousness. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's our children and our grandchildren. It's generations to come. Generations that we have the ability to impact if we just accept what Jesus said. And what did he say? You shall know the truth. Amen. I mean, not just saying it, not just reading it all the time, accepting it and living it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So what about you? Let's take the truth that we know about Jesus and act upon it. If we want to live for Christ, let's act upon it. What are you going to do with the reality of the truth that you know? For me to die is gain, but to live is Christ. You know, a lot of people are just dying as they stand. They're dying as they're walking. There's a dying world out there that's just steeped in lies. And those of us who know the truth ought to just share it. What a take it to them. It might hurt us a little bit. It might hurt them a little bit. It might even strain the relationship with them. But the truth is something that will set them free. I'd much rather you tell me the truth than to lie to me. Really? Nah, tell me lies. They feel good. I know I have to deal with that, right? At least not right now. I might have to deal with it tomorrow. Truth is what we need. It's what we need. When we marry, we stand before the altar of God and we say, I do, I pledge to love you forever. Why do we change our minds? If a man vow a vow, he ought to just be able to keep that vow. But all the world around us is filled with lies, and we caught up with the world. This is like Mardi Gras Bourbon Street. You get in that crowd, and wherever the crowd goes, amen? Why be in the crowd? We can have truth and sanity and eternal life. In and as Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. Occasionally, men stumble over the truth. Yes, they do. But most of them pick themselves up and they hurry off. And they hurry off as if nothing ever happened. How about you? How about your reality of truth this morning? Are you captured by truth? Or are you living that lie? It's hard to come to grips about ourselves, but we have to do that if you want to go to heaven. None of us are perfect. None of us at all are perfect. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's God who justifies us. Amen? It's his grace and his mercy. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid that. Who shall rescue me from this body of sin? Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. He's the reality and the truth. He's God's Son, and he's our Savior. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about living truth in your life this morning as we go forward? One more time, I want you to listen to me really well. You, talking to you, and you, and you, and me. You shall know the truth, Jesus said. You're going to know it. And if you act upon it, he says, it's going to set you free. It's a funny thing when people come to grips with the truth and you see they know the truth, you see them start squirming. They just can't keep themselves. They can't get themselves together because they really got to do something about it, right? There's two choices to make. Either they're going to do something about it or they won't. And most people simply will not because they have to deal with themselves. And why is it that we can deal with so many other people but we can't deal with? Is that the same thing as a painter not painting his own house? As a plumber not fixing his own pipes? Is that the same thing as that? Jesus appeals to our inner man. Our inner man. We got to stop living those lies and live for Christ. Because that's the reason we are here. God has put eternity in our hearts that we might see God. I am the way, Jesus said. I'm the truth and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man comes to the Father but by me. So I need you to hear that. I need you to hear John 6:45 is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and learned of the Father of a truth comes unto me. I need you to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of the true and living God, John 8:24. Very, verily I say unto you, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Unless you know that I am the truth, you're going to die in those lies. Because before Abraham was, I am, Jesus says, I am. And maybe truth will cause us to repent. It should. It should. I'm not talking about worldly sorrow. Sorry because you got caught. I'm talking about godly sorrow. Sorrow that leads us to repentance. That Jesus might forgive us of our sins. He told those guys in Luke 13:3, who wanted to compare their lives to those in Siloam. He said, let me tell you something. He said, you see those guys in Siloam? He said, They're going to die, and you're going to die if y'all both don't repent of your sins. They don't need different from you. I tell you nay, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We got to confess Christ. And then we talk about everything and nothing all of the time. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It's about confession. It's about speaking. It's about the heart. This is a heart matter that involves us and God. Confess him. Talk about him. Embrace him. For he is truth. The truth of it all is you must be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. A lot of people, I've been baptized already, Brother Collins. Okay, that's fine. But have you been baptized according to the scriptures? That's the truth. The scriptures is truth. What is truth? John 17, 7. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. For as many of us, Galatians 26 and 27, for you all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, and some have not been, but those of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's where you get it. And it's for the remission of your sins, not for any other reason. Not because your grandma was that, or your grandpa was that, or your whole family is this. Deny yourself. Deny all that self-righteousness that you have within you. And embrace Christ. Embrace the truth. And save your soul. Save your very life. The gospel is yours this morning. If we can help you, why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Wandering from the full of God, hear ye not the invitation, or prepare to meet thy God. O careless soul, heed thy warning, for will soon be gone. Your life will soon be gone. Oh, sad to face the judgment. Face the judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God.